Hello and welcome to the Learning College Vanguard Audiobooks. I'm Alex Linder. You can find this and everything we record at vnnforum.com, also at alexlinder.com eventually. Today we're going to start a new book. It's by Abir Taha, two words. I believe a Muslim type woman living in France. Abir. New word, Taha, Abir Taha. Nietzsche, Prophet of Nazism, The Cult of the Superman, Unveiling the Nazi Secret Doctrine. From Author House, copyright 2005. And she had sent this to me many years ago. I don't actually know her. Now, the cover has a picture of Hitler, Nietzsche, laurel leaf wreathed Greek head figure, and Nazis marching with banners. The author's name at the bottom. And the spine is printed unusually. It's printed kind of in the reverse way you'd see in 99% of books. See what the back cover says? This book deeply analyzes Nietzsche's influence on Nazi ideology, focusing on how the Nazis appropriated most of Nietzsche's concepts and ideals to fit them into their own doctrine. Yet in doing so, the author draws a clear distinction between the Nazi esoteric doctrine, that is the inner secret doctrine for the elite, which is elitist, supranational, and spiritual, their esoteric, and the popular nationalist exoteric, that's the one for the public and the masses. Doctrine. So a distinction between their esoteric and their exoteric doctrines. She then endeavors to establish a clear link between the Nazi secret doctrine and Nietzsche's philosophy, revealing both the occult character of esoteric Nazism and the pagan Arianism of Nietzsche. So there is something in their secret doctrine that is drawn from Nietzsche, so there is a relationship there. This book has, therefore, a twofold contribution. It unveils the Nazi esoteric doctrine, which the author claims is purely Nietzschean in character, and analyzes Nietzsche's philosophy in order to extract from it a clearly eugenicist, Arianist, anti-Semitic dimension, thus establishing a clear link between the German philosopher's thought and the Nazi secret doctrine. The author thus unveils both Nietzsche's universal Arianism as well as Nazism's esoteric doctrine by analyzing occult Nazism in the light of Nietzsche's philosophy. This subject is of great interest to all those interested in a deeper understanding of the spiritual dimension of Nietzsche's thought, as well as the occult nature of Nazism, and the relationship between these two doctrines. So the spiritual dimension of Nietzsche, and the hidden or occult nature of Nazism, the esoteric inner meaning, and the relation between those two things. This book aims to end the controversy that is still ongoing today as regards Nietzsche's revelation or relation to Nazism by showing that the exoteric side of Nazism, the public side, which focuses on nationalism and biological racism, had little to do with Nietzsche's elitist, universal, and spiritual Arianism, thus coming up with the conclusion that Nietzsche's influence was essentially on the esoteric, spiritual, secret doctrine of Nazism. And I have to say, this is a very good book. That's why I wanted to do it. It's also not super long. It has longer than usual pages. It's not the standard format. Let's look at the author's page at the back. Interesting. Printed in the United Kingdom by Lightning Source UK LTD Limited. It says in the inside page, inside the inside back cover. And then about the author, there's a picture of her. Actually pretty white looking. Sharp, intelligent face. Pointed jaw. Lively eyes. Abir Taha, currently a diplomat and a doctorant. I suppose that means someone in the midst of getting their doctorate near the end, or doctoral candidate, I think we'd say in English. In philosophy at the Sorbonne University, that's the top university in France, Abir Taha is an expert in Nietzschean thought. For years, she has extensively read, studied and analyzed Nietzsche's philosophy. She has written several studies and dissertations on philosophy and political theory, particularly Nietzschean thought. Whereas most Nietzsche scholars ignore the spiritual dimension of Nietzsche's philosophy, the author contends that there lies the essence of the great German philosopher's work. She thus puts special focus on Nietzsche's spirituality, which is deeply influenced by Greek and Indian philosophy. So she's all about the spiritual aspect or dimension of Nietzsche. It's been mostly ignored or overlooked, she's thinking. Having deep knowledge of Western and Eastern esoteric thought and the influence of esoteric schools on current political ideologies, the author underwent extensive research on Nazism and its occult roots, paying special attention to Nietzsche's influence on what she calls esoteric Nazism, thus unveiling the Nazi secret doctrine and establishing a clear link between Nietzsche's philosophy and Nazism as a spiritual Weltanschauung, world outlook. The author is currently publishing a book in French entitled Nietzsche's Coming God, or The Redemption of the Divine. I don't know that that ever appeared. Anyway, so this is from 10 to 15 years ago. And that's what Abir Taha is up to at the Sorbonne in France, or was back then. That's the background of this book. So, the spiritual dimension of Nietzsche is the esoteric, the internal elite, hidden aspect of Nazism, she's saying. That's the thesis of this book, and it's only about 175 pages, but a lot of that is notes at the end, so effectively it is 142 pages of text before the notes. So we're just going to do the intro in chapter one today to get off to a good quick brief start, because chapter two is very, very long. And I don't think many of our segments will run more than an hour. That seems to be a good time. Anyway, turning back to the front, so we have the cover, as I described, blank page. Nietzsche, Prophet of Nazism, The Cult of the Superman, and the subtitle, Unveiling the Nazi Secret Doctrine by Abir Taha, Author House, which is out of Bloomington, Indiana, 2005, Abir Taha, ISBN 1-4208-4121-1, parentheses SC, printed in the United States of America, Bloomington, Indiana. Okay. Page V, Roman numeral. Not mankind, but Superman is the goal. Exclamation point. Friedrich Nietzsche. And IE in German is E. And EI is I, like Breitbart and Nietzsche. Or two ways to remember. They would be the opposite in English. They're often mispronounced. And when you don't take pride in pronouncing things correctly, I mean, with it not, there's nothing wrong with anglicizing things. But if you do stuff out of ignorance, you're not really any better than a black slave who's using his verbalizing to get back at the master. Turning again to VII, 7, Preface. That's only one page. The introduction will only be three pages, and the table of contents just a couple. So that's what we're going to do before chapter 1. And chapter 1 is just a few pages also. So, Preface. The cult of the Superman has haunted humanity throughout history, yet it was only clearly expressed in the philosophy of its modern prophet, Friedrich Nietzsche, and culminated in its fiercest supporter, the National Socialist ideology, a political religion whose main ideal and objective were the creation of a superhuman species. Well, you can say it was a political religion, but it wasn't metaphysical. Hitler said that himself. By showing the link between the Nietzschean and Nazi worldviews, and more specifically the Nazi secret doctrine, she capitalizes that secret doctrine, which I have called esoteric Nazism, my aim is to demonstrate that the Nazis were pure Nietzscheans, thus repudiating the views of some scholars who deny or undermine any link between the Nietzschean and Nazi doctrines. I endeavor to prove that the Nazi esoteric ideology was primarily an endeavor to actualize and institutionalize Nietzsche's cult of the Superman. Applying it to a political system that would breed a Herren folk, or master race, in body and spirit, destined to rule the earth. Nazism was in fact greatly influenced by Nietzsche's philosophy, especially his concept of the Superman, giving it a political dimension in order to, quote, put Nietzsche into motion and turn the philosopher's cult from an abstract notion into a concrete reality. The SS, Schutzstaffeln, or security squads, Nazi Germany's racial and political elite, was indeed a self-proclaimed Nietzschean institution of Übermenschen, or supermen, claiming to embody the creed of the godlike man. Thus did both Nietzsche and the Nazis call for a revival of Aryan paganism, namely the ancient Aryan esoteric tradition from India to Greece, rejecting the Jewish religion of Christianity, which they believed was a gross distortion of Christ's original teachings. Both doctrines acknowledged the will to power as the motor of history. Both praised the qualities and values of the Superman, glorifying war and advocating a radically aristocratic view of the world. Both Nietzsche and Nazism despised Western Judeo-Christian civilization and its two products, liberalism and socialism, introducing a third option, aristocratic radicalism, between corrupt egalitarian democracy, and that's in quotes, corrupt egalitarian democracy, and the, quote, materialist socialism of the mob. In addition, both advocated the rule of an Aryan universal, quote, master race, transcending the boundaries of states and nations. And finally, both Nietzsche and the Nazis dismissed the decadent Jew from civilization, considering him alien to the natural order as an incarnation of the slave morality. That's the preference. Nice and clear what's going on here. So, yes, the Nazis are Nietzschean. They want to create a master race. The SS was the embodiment of that. And they want a third option between aristocratic radicalism rather than corrupt egalitarian democracy with the materialist socialism of the mob, the Gibbs Medats, whether they're black or white. And the two products of Judeo-Christian civilization are liberalism and socialism. So we turn again, nice and concise, right? And memorable. Table of contents. So we see six chapters, then endnotes and bibliography. Preface, introduction. One, Nietzsche and esoteric Nazism. Nietzsche, a couple segments in it. Chapter one, Nietzsche and esoteric Nazism. Nietzsche and the Nazis, a controversial relationship. I'm just going to read you the chapters and their subtitles, or the subsections. Each of them has some subsections, and that's only 2 pages, though, here. So, chapter one, Nietzsche and esoteric Nazism. Nietzsche and the Nazis, a controversial relationship. Beyond the controversy, Nietzsche and, quote, esoteric Nazism. Chapter 2, The Revival of Aryan Paganism. A, Nietzsche, Nazism, and Neo-Paganism. B, Esoteric Nazism, Breeding the God-Man, or Nietzsche's Superman. C, Aryan Paganism, the Esoteric Tradition from India to Greece. The Hyperboreans, or Atlanteans, the original Aryan race. So they think they're drawing on something very much older, that the origins of our race, not even necessarily in Europe. D, Neo-Paganism, the Aryan Christ versus Semitic Judeo-Christianity. That's chapter 2. Chapter 3, The Will to Power as Life Principle, a Morality Beyond Good and Evil. A, The Will to Power as the Origin of Morality, a Transvaluation of Values. 1. The death of the transcendent God is man's great liberation, quote, beyond good and evil. 2. Immoralism as a transvaluation of values, master morality versus slave morality. B, the will to power as self-overcoming, the Superman. C, the will to power as the drive for conquest and domination, war as higher life affirmation. Chapter 4, The Aristocratic Worldview, Breeding the Aryan Universal Master Race. A. Socialism and Liberalism, the Rule of the Last Man. B. Aristocratic Radicalism, Eugenics and the Rule of the Aryan Master Race. The Racist Aristocratic Worldview, Towards a New Aristocracy. The Aryan Race, a Master Race of Blood and Spirit. Eugenics, the Conscious and Organized Breeding of the Master Race. The State is an Agency for Breeding the Universal Master Race. Great Politics, the Rule of the Aryan Universal Master Race. Chapter 5. Anti-Semitism. The Jew is the Supreme Decadent. Racist Aristocratic Anti-Semitism versus Christian Anti-Semitism. Christianity, Democracy, and Marxism. Products of the Jew, the Supreme Decadent. The Jew, a typical incarnation of slave morality. Chapter 6. Nietzsche, the Prophet of Nazism. And then endnotes and bibliography. And I think that's marvelously, wonderfully simple. This, in my opinion, is how a book should be. That is simple, short, concise, succinct, to the point. I'm kind of betraying the point by going on and on like that, but she has wrapped it all up very clearly in 150 pages, and that's excellent. By my way of thinking, that is excellent. And as I said, today we're going to do introduction and chapter one. That's about 7, 8 more pages, certainly under 10. Anyway, introduction. From times immemorial, mankind has been fascinated by a myth, a great yet impossible dream, the creation of the perfect man, the Superman, direct descendant of the ancient gods. Hence, throughout history, a veritable, quote, cult of the Superman has been haunting the imagination of philosophers and rulers alike. Yet this cult remained a vague and unrealistic fantasy until it was clearly formulated in a coherent philosophy by Friedrich Nietzsche, 1844 to 1900, the modern prophet of the Superman. Nonetheless, it wasn't until the advent of National Socialism, its staunchest supporter, that this cult reached its climax and moved from theory to practice, being transformed by the Nazis into a political ideology aimed at breeding a master race fit for the world rule. Fit for world rule. It was thus only natural for Nazism to be profoundly influenced by Nietzsche's philosophy, since this doctrine shared so many values with the German philosopher, who is best known for his preaching of the rule of the Superman, his veneration of force, his advocacy of power politics, and his aristocratic contempt for egalitarian and weak doctrines such as Judeo-Christianity, liberal democracy, and socialism. So Nietzsche despised socialism, liberal democracy, and Judeo-Christianity. Indeed, the Nazis were, quote, tough Nietzscheans, and their racial aristocracy, the SS, or the Schutzstaffeln, or security squads, was a self-styled Nietzschean institution of supermen claiming to embody the values and virtues of the godlike man. And see, they're considered extremely evil, like sperm cells or spermatozoa of evil. But they actually had moral standards to get into the SS, not just lineal or lineage-related, not just physical standards, but actual moral standards to get in there. Hence, the claiming the virtues of the godlike man. The extent of Nietzsche's influence on Nazism has, in fact, prompted writers such as H.F. Peters to say that, quote, "No modern thinker, with the exception of Karl Marx, has had such a fateful influence on the course of world history." Before going further in our investigation, however, one might ask, why is it still significant now that perfectionist theories and Nazism at their head are altogether rejected and condemned as biased, that's in quotes, quote, politically incorrect, quote, undemocratic, or even, quote, evil, to reveal the intimate connection existing between the Nazi doctrine and Nietzsche's thought, let alone study the concept of the Superman, which seems obsolete in a liberal world that has ruled out the teleological ideal of human perfection, embracing as ultimate reality and purpose the mere will to live, i.e. self-preservation, as opposed to the will to power and self-overcoming. The answer is that, although the idea of the existence of superior beings on Earth infuriates the partisans of democracy and the advocates of equality among men who ignore it, condemn it, or simply consider it a myth, the concept of the Superman deserves a close study, for only by doing so would we be able to comprehend the significance of this noble cause. And the profound impact it has had on modern world history. Indeed, this seemingly harmless idealistic cause has in fact led to the Second World War, the bloodiest and fiercest conflict of contemporary history, where thousands of Totenkopf, Death's Head, SS squads, believers in the millenarian cult of the Superman, murdered without mercy all, quote, subhumans whose existence impeded the evolution of humanity, and who were thus considered enemies of the, quote, new order, and died unhesitatingly for the sake of producing a higher humanity, with higher capitalized. What's more, this cult from such a different, mysterious, mythical world still fascinates up to this day, and in this radically egalitarian age, an elect few who are bewildered by its adoration of force and energy, spirituality and perfection, and its exclusive, esoteric, and incommunicable knowledge reserved only for the initiated elite. In the light of this, the present comparative study acquires a whole new meaning, for it enables us to penetrate deeper into the essence of two perfectionist doctrines, the Nietzschean and Nazi doctrines, deeply enshrined in a pre-Christian pagan spiritual tradition aimed at creating the God-man, hyphenated, a heritage which goes, pardon me, back to the origins of civilization at a time when humanity was guided by the teachings of the, quote, great ones, i.e. spiritual masters now considered legendary mythical figures by our positivist materialist civilization, which lacks a sense of purpose or vision of the universe. Rama, Krishna, Manu, Zarathustra, Prometheus, Orpheus, Hermes, Pythagoras, Plato, and finally Jesus Christ were all prototypes of the Son of God, the God-man which the cult of the Superman strives to recreate. So, resuscitate pre-Christian ways of thinking. Try to create a perfect man, a God-man, rather than be material. And that's funny, because usually you see materialism and decadence opposed to Christianity. But Nietzsche is radical in saying, no, the thing itself is decadent and has slave morality and slave values that need to be transvalued. It is therefore of prime importance to study the cult of the Superman and consequently to analyze the interconnection between its two fiercest advocates, Friedrich Nietzsche, 1844 to 1900, the philosopher who wrote about the Superman, and Nazism, the political ideology which fought to create him. Although Nazism was a modern millenarian revolution based on the ancient esoteric tradition of Aryan occultism, A-O capitalized, and would have emerged regardless of Nietzsche's prior existence, though maybe with a different look, it was nevertheless profoundly and directly influenced by Nietzsche's philosophy. And there are a lot who would argue otherwise, but that's what's interesting and she would think new about this book. The Nazis were in fact faithful disciples of Nietzsche, practicing and advocating almost everything he preached, and typical Nietzschean tenets such as Superman and master race, will to power, immoralism, transvaluation of values, beyond good and evil, master versus slave moralities, war, domination, exploitation, breeding, became a very common use in Nazi literature. So the Nazis were in fact faithful disciples of Nietzsche, practicing and advocating almost everything he preached. The crucial task of this book is to show the striking similarities between Nietzsche's philosophy and National Socialism. Through comparative and textual analysis of major works written on and by Nietzsche and the Nazis. This method of research will involve a critical approach towards selected passages of the cited sources in order to show the link between the two doctrines by presenting valid and reliable evidence in support of my assumptions and determining the range of permissible inferences, that's conclusions you draw, and interpretations. Very clear, very good stuff, in my judgment, this book is. In doing so, I will analyze and penetrate deep into the inner and real meaning of the Nazi doctrine, i.e. esoteric, Nazism, the inside stuff, in the light of Nietzsche's influence, showing that the Nazi doctrine had deep occult, hidden or mystery sources, parentheses, Arianism, Arios, Ariosophy, Arminism, Theosophy, Hermetism, Theozoology, Neo-Templarism, Rosicrucianism, Wotanism, and relied on works of mystical and occult writers, H.S. Chamberlain, Richard Wagner, Meister Eckhart, Carl Gustav Jung, Aleister Crowley, George Gurdjieff, Dietrich Eckhart, Karl Haushofer, Herbert Reichstein, Guido von Liszt, Lance von Liebenfels, Karl Maria Willigut, Rudolf von Sabbatendorf, the Nazi scientist Hans Herbiger. In addition to the influence on Nazi ideology of secret societies, the Thule Gesellschaft means society, Gesellschaft is society, the Edda Society, the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn, the Order of the New Templars, the Luminous Lodge or Vril Society, the Germanen Orden. Again, this all in parentheses. These sources reveal the esoteric tradition in which this movement was deeply enshrined. Nietzsche was undoubtedly the direct and the major, but certainly not the only, source of Nazi ideology. So Nietzsche was the direct and the major source of Nazi ideology, but not the only source. In fact, both theories belong to the same pagan Arianist hyphen mystical tradition, Arianist mystical tradition, and to the perfectionist elitist paradigm. The contribution of this book is twofold. It analyzes esoteric Nazism, capitalized, whose spirit was best exemplified by the SS, Nazi Germany's aristocracy, in contrast to the popular exoteric Nazi doctrine championed by the Sturmabteilungen, i.e. the Stormtroopers, or SA, and then establishes a link with Nietzsche's philosophy, demonstrating that the Nazi elite was truly Nietzschean. The first chapter deals with a controversial Nietzsche-Nazi connection, establishing a clear link between Nietzsche's universal aristocratic thought and esoteric Nazism. The second chapter deals with the revival of Aryan paganism, which Nietzsche and the Nazis were striving to achieve as staunch neo-pagans, advocating a return to the pre-Christian Aryan esoteric tradition from India to Greece. The Nazi cult was indeed a modern occult phenomenon that had inherited the millenarian Aryan pagan tradition. The neo-paganism professed by Nietzsche and the Nazis also contrasted the figure of Christ, whom both doctrines admired, with Judeo-Christianity, which they despised as a distortion of Jesus' original teachings. The third chapter deals with the concept of the will to power, a central theme in Nietzsche's philosophy, which the Nazis adopted as the main tenet of their ideology, and which, in my opinion, implies, first, a transvaluation of values, second, self-overcoming, and third, the overcoming of others. So she's saying it's her opinion that will to power means, first, changing your values from the modern Judeo-Christian democratic socialist values, materialistic, grubby, covetous. So you flip your, you change your values. Second, you overcome yourself. And third, you overcome others. For Nietzsche and his disciples, the Nazis, the will to power was, first, the origin of morality. In this respect, Nietzsche's and the Nazis' rejection of transcendentalism, exemplified by the death of the transcendent God, or active nihilism, quote-unquote, constitutes man's great liberation and paves the ground for an immanentist morality beyond good and evil. Which would ultimately lead to the Superman as mankind's new and highest purpose. Hence the, quote, immoralism professed by Nietzsche and the Nazis means a rejection of a universal morality for all, calling instead for a transvaluation of the values of, quote, good and, quote, evil, which means that everything that was hitherto named good should now be termed bad, and vice versa, i.e. a call for the rule of the values of the master morality of antiquity versus the actually prevailing slave morality. Second, the will to power concept also implies self-overcoming, which is man's highest goal, the bridge to the Superman, according to both the Nietzschean and Nazi doctrines. Finally, the will to power concept represents the drive for conquest and domination. Indeed, both Nietzsche and the Nazis viewed war as higher life affirmation and justified the domination, exploitation, and even the elimination of the weak, multitude, by the strong elite. Further in my investigation of the Nietzsche-Nazi connection, the fourth chapter discusses the aristocratic worldview of Nietzsche and Nazism. It first explains how the, quote, enemies of the Superman, namely socialism and liberalism, were despised by Nietzsche and the Nazis alike, for both considered that these egalitarian ideologies embodied the rule of the last man, and could only produce modernity's mediocre, quote, men without chests. The, quote, aristocratic radicalism advocated by Nietzsche and the Nazis, which was characterized by spiritual racism, constituted a third option between corrupt egalitarian democracy and the materialist socialism of the mob. Both of those are in apostrophes. And sought to apply, not quotes, and sought to, she's using them as terms, and sought to apply eugenics in order to breed an Aryan universal master race transcending the political boundaries of nation-states. I then endeavor to prove, relying on selected passages of Nietzschean and Nazi literature, that they both professed a racist, aristocratic, and spiritual brand of anti-Semitism, a deep and thorough hostility to, and contempt for, the Jewish spirit, which they believe was utterly despicable. The Jew was, in fact, the supreme decadent, the typical Untermensch, subhuman, the perfect antithesis to the Superman, for he embodied the slave morality to perfection and was hence behind all the decadent movements of history, Judeo-Christianity, socialism, liberalism, democracy. Last chapter of the intro. 1933 is a significant date in world history in more than one respect. This year not only witnessed the coming to power of the Nazi phenomenon, with its drastic implications on the course of world history, it was also the first historical attempt by an organized political group to apply Nietzsche's philosophy, especially his cult of the Superman, to a political system. It is worth noting in this respect that Nietzsche did not specify any mechanism for the breeding of the Superman. For the Nazis considered that they were answering Nietzsche's call for the, quote, solitary Superman, unquote, in his famous Thus Spoke Zarathustra, to end their confinement, get organized, and united as a master race which would rule over ordinary humanity. That's on page XV, and that ends the intro. And now we'll do chapter one. I think that was very clear what she intends to demonstrate in this book. And chapter one is only about 2, 3, 4, 5 pages, so brief. Nietzsche and the Nazis, a controversial relationship, is the first sort of subtitle. But the title of chapter one is Nietzsche and Esoteric Nazism. So first she's going to establish her thesis and demonstrate the link between Nietzsche's spiritual dimension and the true inside view of the Nazis in the elite, the esoteric, hidden, not for public consumption, true motivation, true doctrine that the Nazis were following. Nietzsche and the Nazis, a controversial relationship, is her first subhead, is a word I've been looking for. The extent of Nietzsche's influence on Nazi ideology has been the object of a great debate among scholars. The problems of interpretation of the philosopher's writings have indeed stirred profound controversy over the Nietzsche-Nazi connection, and the debate has until this day not been resolved, the Nietzsche scholar still being divided into three main categories or approaches. First, those who view Nietzsche as a Nazi. Second, those who view him as partly a Nazi. And third, those who view Nietzsche as anti-Nazi. So the Nietzsche scholars divide into those three. He was a Nazi. No, he was partly a Nazi. No, he wasn't a Nazi at all. He was an anti-Nazi. Those are the three schools. Each category of scholars presents a different interpretation of the philosopher's writings and hence establishes or denies a link with Nazism. The first category of scholars view Nietzsche as an apologist for Nazism due to his anti-Christian, radically racist, and aristocratic philosophy, which preached the coming of the Superman and praised war and the subjugation of the lower races by the master race. The Nazi scholar Alfred Boimler, B-A-U, I'm assuming umlaut, M-L-E-R, Nietzsche's sister, Elisabeth Förster Nietzsche, the pro-Nazi scholar Anthony Ludovici, Greg Johnson was a big fan of him, republished his book, who all translated or edited, that's at counter-currents.com, who all translated or edited several of Nietzsche's books, fall into this category. Those who see Nietzsche as an apologist for Nazism. So, Alfred Boimler, Nazi scholar, Nietzsche's sister, Elisabeth Förster Nietzsche, and Anthony Ludovici, who all translated or edited several of Nietzsche's books, fall into this category, which also includes Georg Lukacs, the Marxist scholar, who saw a definite link between the Nietzschean and Nazi doctrines, and the Nazi scholar H. Hertle, H-A-E-R, again, that would be an A, H-A with an umlaut, R-T-L-E, Hertle, who pinpointed what of Nietzsche a good Nazi can accept and what he must reject. So there's five people who fit in the first category of seeing Nietzsche as fundamentally connected to Nazism, including a Marxist, two Nazis, his own sister, and Ludovici. The second approach, which most Nietzsche scholars adopt, views Nietzsche as partly a Nazi, arguing that some of the philosopher's tenets are Nazi, such as his rejection of Christianity, his radically aristocratic politics, his Superman and master race concepts, his glorification of war, and some are not, such as his anti-nationalism and anti-statism. Thus, considering that the Nazis were Nietzschean revisionists, appropriating from the philosopher whatever served their propaganda, and disregarding everything which ran counter to the Nazi creed. So that's the mainstream view, as some of Nietzsche is Nazi and some is not. Scholars such as Crane Britton and Arthur Knight belong to this category, the latter interpreting Nietzsche's concept of the Superman as Darwinian. But the most prominent Nietzsche scholar in this category remains William Bluhm, B-L-U-H-M, who considered that the charges against Nietzsche as the precursor of Nazism were partly true and partly false, because there were two doctrines of Nazism, one for the few, the initiated, the elite, which was very much Nietzschean, and one for the many, the average man, the crowds, which was not. In other words, esoteric versus exoteric Nazism. According to Bluhm, the exoteric doctrine of Nazism focused on German nationalism, biological Aryan racism, and anti-Semitism. As for statism, Bluhm did specify that state idolatry, that's a quote, state idolatry, which the anti-Nazi Nietzsche scholars use as an argument against any connection between the two philosophies, was not part of the Nazi ideology. The latter, unlike fascism, putting race above state, and considering the state as a mere instrument for the preservation and enhancement of the race. And that's an interesting distinction between Nazism and fascism. The second Nazi doctrine, the esoteric one, much deeper than the first, espoused the same sort of aristocratic spiritual racism that Nietzsche professed. It was radically elitist, yet universal in character, not merely limited to genes. In the third category of Nietzsche scholars, we find those who view Nietzsche's philosophy as anti-Nazi, a refutation of anything the Nazis believed in, accusing the Nazis of completely distorting what Nietzsche meant to say. Refusing to see any similarity between Nietzsche and the Nazism, these scholars view them as two sharply distinct doctrines. Some of these scholars even went as far as to come up with a preposterous and ludicrous affirmation that Nietzsche, the radical aristocrat, was a humanist. According to George Morgan and Walter Kaufman, the latter having advanced a spiritual hyphen allegorical, and that's in quotes, interpretation of Nietzsche. And he's one of the main translators you'll find out there, and a Jew. A liberal, according to the existentialist Carl Jaspers, or even a socialist, according to H. Lefebvre, who saw the ideas of Nietzsche fall into the Marxian concept of man, and she uses a double exclamation point to show how ludicrous she thinks that is. The scholars who fall into this category and hence deny the Nietzschean-Nazi connection mainly base their allegations on the fact that Nietzsche was strongly anti-political, anti-statist, anti-nationalist, that he considered racial mixing a natural phenomenon sometimes beneficial to culture, and that he felt no hostility whatsoever toward the Jews, what's more, that he even, quote, admired them. We know he said they were strongest, hardiest, purest race in Europe. Beyond the controversy, new subhead, Nietzsche and esoteric Nazism. In response to such allegations, I argue that Nietzsche's anti-political, anti-nationalist, and anti-statist philosophy was not in the least contradictory with the spiritual, supranational racism of the Nazis, that is, above the nation-state, like a pan-European, pan-Aryan, which was an integral and essential part of the Nazi esoteric doctrine Bloom was referring to, though this side of Nazism was less apparent than the exoteric, demagogic, nationalist discourse meant for popular consumption and the mobilization of the masses. So in public, they're all, yay, go Germany, German expansion, but really they're for a racial, spiritual mass to race is what they're ultimately trying to produce. Behind the scenes, that's what's more driving them. Now, let's see. Racism and nationalism are indeed two different, often contrasting ideologies, a nation being a cultural geographical unit, whereas race is an anthropological, spiritual, i.e. supranational unit, and the Nazis were essentially racist, yet they try to combine and reconcile these two theories, coming up with a unique blend, quote, racist nationalism, the folkish state, a primitive, organic, and racial and spiritual community, or Gemeinschaft, as opposed to the modern political and multiracial nation-state, or Gesellschaft, based on the social contract. Quote, racist nationalism, unquote, thus aimed at reconciling race with nation by achieving a racially pure nation, purifying the German race of all non-Germanic elements, such as the Alpine or Mediterranean elements, in order to return to the racial basis of the ancient German nation, which was primarily Aryan or Nordic, i.e. to make Germany, the original homeland of the Aryans, the new spiritual center of the Aryans of the world. Indeed, although Nazism was viewed outwardly as a nationalist movement, its real theory of the state was universal in character, based on a racist, aristocratic, mystical view of the world. For the Nazi state was not an end in itself. Unlike fascism, what Nietzsche termed the coldest of cold monsters, rather a means to a higher end, namely the breeding and perpetuation of Nietzsche's master race, a universal race of supermen transcending political and national boundaries. Furthermore, I argue that even Nietzsche's well-known hatred for the Germans could be explained, after close analysis, as hatred towards the Judeo-Christian, liberal, un-Germanic elements in the modern German character, and hostility towards what Nietzsche viewed as the Reich's relatively liberal tendencies. That's not the Third Reich, that's before that. Again, that's before Nietzsche's time, before the Nazis' time. It is worth noting in this respect that Nietzsche often contrasted the authentic German, the ancient pagan Teuton, der Germana, as opposed to Der Deutsche. The magnificent blonde beast, whom he admired, with the modern liberal Christian domesticated, weakened, and atypical German. Finally, says Taha, I argue that Nietzsche was a virulent, quote, spiritual and pagan anti-Semite, that he morally despised the Jews as the decadents of humanity and falsifiers of history, as the living incarnation of the slave morality. Nietzsche was indeed thoroughly hostile to the Jewish Semitic spirit, which he saw as the perfect antithesis to the Indo-European or Aryan spirit, best represented by the Vedic, Zoroastrian, and the Dionysian religions, and what's more, he often contrasted the Aryan and Semitic spirits as master versus slave moralities, praising the superiority of Aryan humanity and civilization. Manu, founder of the first Aryan religion, the Aryan Vedas, Zarathustra, Brahmanism's racial hierarchical caste system, the, quote, blonde beast, unquote, what could be more racist and anti-Semitic? Nevertheless, the fact is that the controversy over the Nietzschean-Nazi relationship still lingers to this day, each school of Nietzschean scholars firmly clinging to its interpretation, even though all agree that, misinterpreted or not, Nietzsche's greatest political influence has been on the Nazi ideology, and that the parallel between the two doctrines is a very close one. By showing the shortages in all three interpretations of the Nietzsche-Nazi relationship, this book's contribution lies in its attempt to transcend the said controversy, introducing a new interpretation of the Nietzsche-Nazi connection, which consists of a comparison between the philosopher's writings and the Nazi esoteric doctrine, which, I argue, was purely Nietzschean. Contrary to the exoteric one, whose relationship to the Nietzschean doctrine is more controversial. Indeed, the main shortage in the Nietzschean scholars' different interpretations lies in the fact that the latter have compared Nietzsche and the exoteric side of Nazism, not paying heed to the esoteric, real meaning of the Nazi ideology, the other side of Nazism. These scholars have misinterpreted and have failed to grasp the deeper, inner meaning and essence of National Socialism, which, according to Hitler, and as I shall demonstrate throughout this work, was much more than a political movement, even, quote, more than a religion. It is the will to create a new man, a superhuman being who symbolizes the culmination of evolution. What could be more Nietzschean? In fact, the creation of this superman as humanity's highest purpose was, and here lies the significance of this book, also Nietzsche's highest goal. The creation of the superman is ultimately the goal of Nietzsche and the Nazis. And she says, here lies a... Okay, I'll read that sentence again. In fact, the creation of this superman as humanity's highest purpose, creating the superman, was, and here lies the significance of this book, also Nietzsche's highest goal, the pillar and the cornerstone of his doctrine. So she's saying the Nazis and Nietzsche were ultimately aimed at the same thing. That's the connection. Although Blum was the first among the cited scholars to specify that Nazism had an esoteric elitist doctrine far deeper than the nationalist mass politics, he nonetheless failed to go into an in-depth analysis of esoteric National Socialism, capitalized, esoteric, merely mentioning that this doctrine was supra-nationalist, that is, above the nation, based on a racism that was spiritual, not biological. And hence he was unable to establish a solid link between Nietzsche and Nazism's other doctrine. Blum was also mistaken in his rather hasty conclusion that, to the Nazis, race was solely psychological, not based on genes. Now, let's see. In the chapter which discusses Nazism's theory of race, I will show that the exoteric and esoteric doctrines of Nazism were indeed different, yet they were not contradictory, in contrast to what Blum assumes, the latter having a deeper meaning than the former. For example, racist nationalism was a synthesis of a superior nation and a superior race. Also, the concept of race for Nazism was psychological as well as biological, i.e. mystic biological, which means that the biological factor was a precondition for the psychological or spiritual factor. In other words, as H.S. Chamberlain put it, Houston Stuart Chamberlain, race was much more than a spiritual matter. Race was much more a spiritual matter than a biological matter. Yet to him, biology was an important prerequisite for racial superiority. So genes cannot be discarded. Genes matter, but genes are not all important. They're a necessary part. An Aryan spirit could indeed be incarnated in a non-Aryan body, yet this latter should contain a certain amount of Aryan blood to, quote, receive a superior soul. In the Nazi esoteric doctrine, spirit had precedence over biology, the latter being a vehicle for the former, yet biology was essential, for the Nazis, like Nietzsche, believed in the unity of body and spirit. Hence, a superior Aryan soul could only dwell in an Aryan, or at least half-Aryan body. Contrary to Bloom's own rather hasty interpretation of Nazism's esoteric racism. Having criticized Bloom's theory and its shortcomings, my own theory starts where Bloom's theory ends, first by unveiling the Nazi secret doctrine, and second by establishing the link between esoteric Nazism and Nietzsche's philosophy, in order to demonstrate in a concrete manner that the Nazis were true Nietzscheans and not mere revisionists. In doing so, I will analyze Nazism esoterically, for there is where the real doctrine lies. Although the Nietzschean-Nazi connection remains a controversial one among scholars, yet when we penetrate deeper into the philosopher's thought, as well as Nazism's supranational elitist spiritual racism, we find clear, even striking, philosophical, moral, and spiritual affinities. Hence, we can infer that all the concrete and reliable evidence that will be presented throughout this book will support my main assumption, which is the following. It is an undeniable fact that the Nazis were true and pure Nietzscheans, and we cannot but acknowledge the hard reality that the Nazis were directly and profoundly influenced by Nietzsche, whom they rightfully considered their prophet, turning him into the Third Reich's most important philosopher, thus compelling a well-known scholar to affirm, quote, the relation of fascism to Nietzsche recalls the relation of the French Revolution to Rousseau, or the relation of Leninism to Marx. He's that important. And that will conclude chapter one, and today's session. So we've made our way from the cover, the introduction, and chapter one of Abir Taha's Nietzsche, Prophet of Nazism, The Cult of the Superman, unveiling the Nazi secret doctrine. And she says, you know, they were pure Nietzscheans. Yeah, it wasn't what was put out there. It was racist biological nationalism in public, but in private, they're all about creating the Superman. And Nietzsche was their prophet, hence her title. Anyway, thanks for being with me today. I'll be back with you again with chapter two real soon.